Glad that you're back and you're awake now after lunch. It's really exciting. So I'm just going to give a little context of why we've asked Karen to give her testimony. 2 years ago, I was having lunch with Emily Hendrickson. How many people remember Emily was speaking to us about honor? Yeah. And so I said to Emily, who was our discipleship protege at our church, hey, Em, what have you done in the last couple of years in the way of discipleship that has meant a lot to you personally? And she said, oh, without a doubt, hands down, discipleship journey. And I said, what's discipleship journey? And so, of course, she gave me a huge core dump on discipleship journey. And then Heather Zimpel walked up on the sidewalk and said, what are you gas bags talking about? And we said, discipleship. And she said, she plops down because this is her favorite subject. And she said, what's going on? And I said, well, I just asked Emily, you know, what has she done in the way of personal discipleship that has impacted her? And she said, oh, well, I'm sure she told you, hands down, without a doubt, discipleship journey. And so I said, okay. So I got the full-on hardcore press for a discipleship journey. And so I said, well, I'll have to order this book. And they walked me straight to a trunk of a car where I could get one right there. And you would be very proud, Dave. And it was awesome. And so I was like, okay, well, what do I do with this really big book? And they said, you know, you find somebody to disciple. And I said, well, I've got a lot of people to disciple. And they said, good, go do it. And I was like, okay. You know, they gave me no instruction at all. And I was like, good luck with that. And so I thought, oh, Lord, you know. So I sat down and I prayed about it. And I said to the Lord, who should I disciple? And he said, well, actually, do for one person what you wish you could do for 30. And that was Andy Stanley speaking. He reminded me of that. And so I was like, okay. So I thought, well, I really love leaders, and I love people who should be leaders. And so I saw in Sue Pruding a burgeoning leader, and she was just coming alive after the Alpha course and starting to step out into leadership. And then I saw Karen Salms, and I thought, she should be leading everything. And so I asked them if they would come, and we could spend every week together going through discipleship journey one-to-one or with each other. And we would just kind of ask one question. We would do our homework and we'd say one time a week, what did the Holy Spirit teach you and what did you do about it? And so as you can imagine, very soon after we started this, I started being discipled by Karen and Sue. That's usually the way it works. You think you're going to share with somebody and they share everything with you. And it was very fun to sort of see transformation occur at the kitchen table in front of our eyes on all levels. But I've really never seen anything like quite the growth that Karen experienced as she was doing this book, and we were walking through it in community together. So we asked her to tell her testimony. So Karen Salms.
I'm so glad to be here. Heidi asked me to talk for 5 minutes, and all the envelopes for my unopened mail are full of notes, and half of the yellow pad on the table is full of notes, so I'll see what I can do. First of all, Matthew 28 says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. I didn't know that. I knew that scripture. I'd heard that scripture. I could have repeated that scripture, but that's a little bit too big for me. I can't go disciple nations. That's for the apostles and for Elizabeth Law, you know? For me, I would do the other things that God had set out for me to do. And what is discipleship anyway? It's one of those Christianese words that doesn't really mean anything to me. And Heidi asked me to talk about really what is discipleship, what happened at that table with Heidi and Sue, which was just so beautiful, and where I am now. And so what is discipleship? I really didn't know. I really didn't know what discipleship was. And I had no idea that that was what I was called to do as a Christian. I am a master of letting the obvious escape me. And here I've been a Christian for 15 years, and I didn't know I was supposed to be a disciple. Here's what else I knew. I have been so hungry for the word since I met God, and I have known that it was the truth, and I've just eaten it up, and I've pursued it and read it and striven. but my life began to not reflect the energy I was putting into that pursuit, and I couldn't figure out why. And I started to feel a little dry on the inside, and my life was not reflecting what I knew God had the power to do in me. And I was at a loss. And so I took things from my life, tragedies, losses, deaths, and I decided, well, that's why, because I can't trust God, is why I'm getting dried up. And so I crossed my arms a little bit and took a step back. And home life didn't get any better, and I wasn't the mother I so desperately wanted to be to my children, and I wasn't the wife I wanted to be. And I was getting angry. I mean, I was getting genuinely angry, quietly, and resentful, and a little bitter, and all the things that go along with that plate of food. And as I found in my journey, when you start to believe lies, you get off track with God. And it wasn't that I didn't trust God. I did trust God. And it wasn't from the losses. I think if I dug and I dug and I dug, it was that I wasn't getting what I wanted. I couldn't do what I wanted and follow Jesus at the same time. And I think if you distilled and distilled and distilled, that's why I was mad. That's why I crossed my arms, and that's why I stepped back. Because I was told to do certain things that I agreed with, that I believed were true, but didn't do them. The obedience was lacking. Slow to anger, you know, gentle. All of these things that I was reading about that I wasn't doing. I wasn't living that life that I was called to live, and I had let that obedience piece kind of roll off the table and was running around with a bunch of head knowledge that was making me miserable. And which takes me to the table in Heidi's house, that freezing kitchen table in the wintertime. And Heidi was always hot and I was always cold. And I knew something had to give. I knew something had to give because now my life was false. I was believing a lot of things, but I was no reflection of my beliefs. And you know what we can do. We can pull it all together and suit up and show up and not even pretend, but think we're actually doing it. And just think life is hard. But God wants to give us an abundant life, actually. He wants us to have joy, actually. And he wants us to have peace, actually. But to get to those things, I had to quit lying to myself. And, you know, the world is filled with folks who are right, who are in charge, who are celebrating self-sufficiency, and who are being in control. Those people aren't happy. I was that person. I was that person that wanted everything just so, and it wasn't okay if it wasn't my way. And that is the bottom line truth. I was like that in my family. I was like that with my husband. And I never presented it that way, but that was the undercurrent. And that's not a life relinquished to God. And I discovered that around Heidi's table. And the first time I discovered it was when Heidi looked at me and she goes, "Huh, you're angry." And I said, "No, I'm not." She goes, "Yeah, you are." And I thought, well, that's odd. And the women of God who surround you are a better mirror to yourself than you are to you. Because I can look in the mirror. I would have looked in the mirror for 20 years and not seen anger. And so you have to surround yourself with women who are filled with the Spirit of God and who can see you for who you are and love you anyway. And that's what Sue and Heidi did around that table. And Sue opened up and was truly transparent to me and shared some of her sufferings that were the same as mine. And I thought, oh, you know, if somebody like Sue can experience this and have hope for a way out, then I can too. So there's community in that, and there's true reflection. And with, you know, having the humility or the willingness to see yourself as you actually are sets you free. Because I never would have gotten beyond that had I not seen it for what it was and continued to blame it on my losses or my sorrow or anything else, which always devolves into self-pity or any of the other three or four ugly things that we carry around with us like a big old pack of luggage on our back. And I was able to drop that piece of luggage when I saw the truth. And it was transformative. But I also know something else, that once you see the truth, you never stop searching for it, because you're always going to be surprised and you're always going to have blind spots. But there's something that comes after that, and that's obedience and it's action. And I didn't want life to be about me. I've tried so hard. I've tried so hard to be happy, and it's in none of the places I've ever looked. And that's significant, and I discovered that on this journey too. I will not get happy seeking it through my own means and my own best thinking. My own best thinking got me into that little pile of tears at GWBS that morning that was the beginning of this journey. And my best efforts get me to that place. I cannot do this my way. So there's that essential piece of death to self that until that happens, there's no growth. I cannot do this journey my way. I'm 100% convinced of that because I tried and tried and tried so hard and it doesn't work. So how was I discipled? I was discipled with such unconditional love. You know, at first Heidi asked me, and my initial reaction was, what's wrong with me? why can't you pick someone else? And I thought, you know, what are they, do they see some huge mistake or error in me? Are they trying to fix me? Do I need to be more suitable? You know, all of those tapes started to play. And then I discovered that we were just going on a journey together. We were delving deep into the Word. We were abiding in Christ. We were getting familiar with the character of God. We were sharing experiences and picture stories, which is how I learn about how God works in our lives, and getting that imprint on our eyelids so that when we blinked, we could start to see things from God's perspective and with an eternal perspective and with a level of calm that I was never able to bring to things before. And those white knuckles over my life began to release a little bit, just a little bit. And not yet in my relationships. You know, that began to happen later and still is happening. I'm a work in progress. So I was discipled with love. I was discipled with tremendous transparency, which, oh my gosh, some of the things you guys said to me, I'm like, no way do you feel that. No way have you experienced that. Because from the outside, we all assume that everybody does just fine. And the level of transparency and trust that these women gave to me over that kitchen table, and Betsy gives to me, you know, in between sessions, you know, at GWBS, and all the women I ask, and Elizabeth, you know, the level of transparency, it just cracks open the possibility of what faith can do. And it's a trust issue. It's a faith and trust issue. And I think if you don't offer that level of transparency to people, they'll never be transformed, because they'll continue to compare their insides to your outsides. So thank you for that. That's how I was discipled, in love and in truth and in, you know, if somebody's discipling you in love and in truth, you're never going to get offended. Even when they call you angry, you're going to say, really? Maybe I should look at that. And so that combination of love, truth, and transparency, I mean, you can tell anybody anything because they know that you've got their back. So, all right. So I have a whole bunch of notes that I don't understand. This is simple, it's not easy. You know, following God's commands are simple, but not easy. And I think you need to be intentional. I need to be intentional about following God's command. I've been really praying for God to help me to be a gentle spirit with my children, because I'm a little fireball sometimes. And they tell me that, and I so appreciate that, because it means I have dialogue and relationship with my children, that they can tell me the truth. And I want God to continue to reveal where he wants me to go and not get stuck in where I am. I want the focus to be outward, not inward. Because that too, I mean, the focus has to be on God, not me. I've tried for years to fix myself. It does not work. Andy Stanley, who's another favorite of mine, says, the fruit of the Spirit is a beautiful thing, but you never walk out into the middle of an apple orchard and hear the trees go, fruit! You know? that the fruit of the Spirit is a natural consequence of abiding in Christ, of spending time with women who are immersed in the Word of God, of reading the Bible, of prayer, of like really talking to God. You know, the fruit of the Spirit is a result of the indirect root. If I want to work on gentleness with my children, for the love of Pete, don't work on being gentle with the children. Go spend an hour with God in the morning. I've never been so convicted in my life of the importance of time with God. We read through the New Testament over the course of Lent in Heidi's and my church, and it was totally transformative. I mean, I've read the whole New Testament before, but doing it in that kind of a way, intentionally daily, I read it so differently than I've ever read it before in my life. And it changed me, which is remarkable, because I don't change easy. You know, it changed me. God can change me. I cannot change myself, but I have to invest time and energy, not on the problem, not on what I want to change, but with God, so that that transformation, those fruits can bloom in me, or have access around me. So be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Heidi said to me in the middle of this discipleship journey, so what are you going to do? I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, who are you going to disciple? I said, I don't know. And I said to her, silly me, well, I, you know, for a long time I've been thinking about doing a little, you know, study at my house and bringing in women like me who are kind of church, but you know, people who really are hungry for the word of God and yada, yada, yada. And I thought that would be it. And Heidi's like, great, I've got a name of a guy at church, and here's the email you need to send, and here's the registration, and you can sign up, and tell me when you're doing it. And I thought, oh, geez, now I got to do it. So I did it, and I was scared. I was scared, you know, the regular stuff. Nobody's going to show up. I'm going to look silly, yada, 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 all about me. But it's been beautiful. I've had 6 or 8 women, the same faithful women, come to my house every week, and we really talk about God, and we really fellowship, and he comes in, and he's a part of us. And I see women who have all sorts of funky ideas about who God is refine their vision and refine their vision and refine their vision, which is what happened to me. And I needed to be told that I was supposed to be a disciple of Christ, because I didn't know that. Hello, I just finished discipleship journey. That's a new revelation to me in the past couple of weeks, that this is my point. And when people come to my house, I see their vision of Christ refined through the discussion, through the material, and through the insights of others. And that's what we do. We are the body of Christ, and we give each other the fuel to keep going so it can become less and less about us and more about God, which is something I never thought I wanted. That's how selfish I was. But I do want that, because it's the life I've always yearned for. And God gives it to you for free, through grace, which is kind of amazing. So that's all I have.